Hey, drama listeners, it's Connor. I know you haven't heard from me doing a Patreon ad in a while because Dylan has been holding down the fort and slaying the game. Please, everyone, go follow him and retweet him because I think that makes him happier than you even listening to the episode. I'm just kidding, but I'm not. Anyway, I want to give you a quick message before we start to, first of all, thank you for your support. And second of all, to encourage you that if you loved our episode today and if you've heard about our Patreon before, this might be your sign from above to finally subscribe. So it's $5 a month, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. The link is in the episode description. We made it super easy for you. But anyway, you can go and become a member of our Patreon fam, where we have monthly bonus episodes that come out sometimes twice a month, sometimes even four, where we do special deep dives into certain topics. Right now we're doing a Tony's Contender series, and you can also watch some old episodes on there, and you get added to our Instagram close friends. So it sounds really fun, and it is really fun. So I think you should do it. Patreon.com/thedramapodcast. Thank you all for listening. You're really gonna love this episode. We had a blast recording it. All right, now on to the show.
Press play.
Curtain up, and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell, and just like that,
it's over. I know.
It's over. Well, we have one more episode. It'll have aired, though, by the time this comes out.
Yeah, I know, and we haven't talked about it on the pod. Actually, we did talk about it at length on the pod in the Will Chase episode, but it was left on the cutting room floor because it was like a 90-minute episode already, and we were like, we can move this to a later date, because he hadn't seen it yet anyway. Yeah. But I'm obsessed with it and hate almost everything about it, but it's a cultural phenomenon.
I'd say it's very controversial and everyone's talking about it. The Sex and the City, the next chapter of the Sex and the City story
the
is
next
what they're
chapter.
Calling it.
Oh my God. I saw this tweet yesterday that was like the feminine urge to watch And Just Like That at 7 a.m. promptly every Thursday. And I'm like, yes, I literally have been waking up before work to watch it, which is insane behavior. I actually can't believe I just said that. But because, you know, I don't want to get anything spoiled for me during the day. And because HBO Max drops it, you know, overnight, I have to watch it in the morning.
It's like when All Star 6 of Drag Race was dropping on Paramount Plus over the summer. And it was like, well, it's going to get spoiled for you online, so you better just watch it.
Remember,
and so you and I would have our summertime sip and sees. You know, you'd be in New York, I'd be in Columbus. We'd have our coffee and we'd watch while texting each other at like 10 in the morning.
Yeah. It was like being together.
It was.
Okay, that's like quarantine vibes when we weren't even in quarantine. Because last summer was like famously more normal than anything we've experienced in the last 2 years. But
I know.
Anyway, And Just Like That, I know. And I'm still wondering what happened to Isaac Cole Powell on the show. Because remember, he was announced as a series regular.
He was. Well, I posed this question on Twitter and one of our friends reached out and slid into our DMs about this.
Let's be annoying and say we'll tell you if you are on our close friends on our Instagram, if you join our Patreon. I know. So we will tell you what we heard.
That.
The tea is spilled. So you have to sign up at patreon.com/thedramapodcast. We're also going to release a full And Just Like That Patreon episode where we break down season one, or maybe the only season.
All things Che Diaz, all things Lisette, the neighbor.
Okay, and
Carrie Bradshaw.
I'll end that conversation on just saying something that you said to me after watching episode 8, which was, I wish that Carrie was still the main character.
I know.
And I agree. I agree with you. And I actually heard tea that there was tons of Carrie stuff. She was like hallucinating big, like the scene when she was hearing the beeping in the kitchen when in her new apartment, like apparently that was going to be like leading her to a new lamp store to get a lamp and remind her of something about big. But because of the whole Chris Notes stuff, they cut a lot of it so that they're not reminding viewers of it. So that's why there is less Carrie. But that's just a rumor at this point. But anyway,
that's interesting.
Very interesting, right? That there's more Carrie. And also it was like released that they did cut. He filmed extra scenes for the finale.
Oh, okay.
And they cut it from the episode.
Well, good.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I feel like, too, and like, oh my God, here we are getting into it. But I feel like if they're trying to tell a story about Carrie's grief and what happens, like, after she gets Mr. Big, you know, after they have this life together and he, okay, spoiler alert, passes away, they, I think in order to make it a less sad story, they do kind of have to move on from him in a lot of ways. Like, yes, he can be mentioned. Like, obviously we know she's grieving. Like, that's been clear. But if we keep seeing him on the show, I don't know if it really helps tell a new story
That's a good point.
I don't know. Anyway, Dylan, I'm gagged. I'm excited. We need to bring in our guest today because she's a true sister.
She is. She's unreal. And if anyone is not familiar with her yet, you will be soon. Our guest today is a rising Broadway star currently on pause before returning this March as Lydia in Mrs. Doubtfire, the musical. This Staten Island native is no stranger to the stages of New York City, having made her Broadway debut in the ensemble of Pasek and Paul's A Christmas Story musical in 2012. She then found herself being a little bit naughty in Matilda on Broadway, where she cemented her path as a young star. You might also recognize her from Lolita, My Love off Broadway, or as one of the kids featured in the Godspell cast of 2032. We're getting close to 2032. On screen, she has appeared in We're Gonna Come Back, Thespians of Normal Attraction, and the music video Artists for the Arts with A Little Help from My Friends. Her debut self-written EP is available now, courtesy of Broadway Records, featuring her incredible pop vocals and talents beyond the Broadway stage. She is the one to watch. Please welcome to drama, Annalise Scarpacci.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Now I have to ask, are you an And Just Like That viewer?
I am indeed.
Do you enjoy this series?
You know, I'll take anything that I can get. I love the show. I love the movies.
I know.
I will say I do miss Liza Minnelli. I think she should have had an appearance.
Spoken like a true Broadway gal.
I think Liza should have had an appearance in one of these 10 episodes. I'm sad it's ending, but I think it may be time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I God rest his soul, I miss Stanford. I miss him. I mean, still Anthony is my favorite character.
He's kind of had to carry some weight of, like, Samantha's gone, yes. Stanford's gone.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, Anthony and Seema are kind of, like, carrying Samantha's legacy.
I think Seema
is so cool.
She is, like, worthy of the fourth girl. Yes. Replacement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's still, like, aspirational to me. Like, I don't know if you watched, like, episode 9, but when she's just, like, smoking and chilling and being fabulous, I was like, oh, we missed that on the show, because I feel like the women are all, like, we're old now. And, like, the story is kind of like what happens, you know, in your 50s at this point, right, which is great because we need stories like that. But I love wanting to be like the women. And I feel like Seema's the one I want to be like in this new show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I always saw myself as a Charlotte sun with the Miranda moon.
Oh, I
and
love
now
it.
I like feel I'm just angry at Miranda all the time. And I mean, I hate to say it because I love Cynthia Nixon.
I know.
And I am aggravated every time she makes a move. And I'm like, I can't watch you and you make me mad.
I know.
But
I'm with you.
I did meet the girl who plays Rock.
Really?
Ooh. I did. She came to see Doubtfire and you know, when you recognize somebody and you're like, I know who you are, but I don't know where I know you from. And her mom was like, yeah, she plays Rock on Just Like That. And I was like, I literally just watched you when I had COVID the other night. It was like that. Cause I watched like the first 3 episodes when I was on quarantine with COVID.
Oh.
But yeah, you know, didn't everyone do that?
I think so. I think because it all happened at the same time, like right before in December. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Wow, how cool. Oh my God. I can only imagine a lot of people have come to see the show as one of the only new musicals that was running while Broadway reopened.
Yeah. I mean, it's so difficult because it's like, we don't know who's there because nobody's allowed to come back because of COVID. So we don't know who's there most of the time, unless somebody knows somebody.
Okay.
But I did get to FaceTime with Kevin Jonas.
You stop it.
Stop.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
Are you a big Joe Bros gal?
You see them on my pillow?
Oh.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Is Kevin nice?
Oh my God. Amazing. You know, okay. So Rob McClure, who like I love dearly.
Legend.
Legend. The legend himself. Yeah. He grew up with them. Like, they used to do theater together. So they've been friends for years. And I knew that, and Rob would always make fun of me because, of course, like, I love them forever and ever mm-hmm. and amen. And one day he was like, when they come to the show, you'll meet them. So this is like 2 years of talking about this because, you know, pandemic. And one day I was in my dressing room and the stage manager came in and was like, we're going to play a prank on Jake, who plays my brother. So I'm like, okay, great. Let's do it. Let's do it. She was like, don't leave yet. Okay. And then I'm there. And 2 minutes later, I'm like waiting in my dressing room. And Charity Dawson is standing behind me because we share a dressing room together. And Charity's like, okay. I was like, we're going to play a prank on Jake, Charity. Like, let's do it. And the dresser, Rob's dresser, comes in and was like, Annalise, can you go down to Rob's room for a few minutes? He wants to talk to you about something. I'm like, great. What did I do? I'm like, what?
Did you get freaked?
I'm like, no, I was more like, he never asks to see me in his dress. Like, this is weird. But I go downstairs. Little did I know that someone was following me with the camera. No idea. Clueless. I go downstairs and Rob was like, wait, 2 seconds. I'm like, what did I do? Like, what is wrong with you? And I walk in there and on the phone, it says FaceTiming Kevin Jonas. I almost pooped my pants.
Literally.
Literally, I almost pooped my pants. And he was so nice. I spoke to him and his wife. They're amazing. Little did I know that after I left the theater, my dad was like, oh, I met Kevin Jonas and his wife.
So they were there, but then they were FaceTiming afterwards because they couldn't come back.
Because they couldn't come back because of COVID. Okay. And then December 11th or whatever it was, I missed 3 shows because of COVID, because I had COVID. And of course, on the lovely Saturday performance that I was not there for, Nick Jonas attended.
No.
Yeah.
No. Do you know if Priyanka was with him?
No.
Well, he'll have to come back with her.
Yeah. And you know what? And we still have Joe. There's still Joe.
There's still Joe. And he is honestly like,
I think he's the hottest. I have
to
say.
Yeah. I think he's the best one. So
they're all, well, see, I don't know. I can't pick one.
Spoken like a true Joe bro fan. You're like,
I honestly can't pick one because they're all so different and I've never met them. So I wouldn't know.
true.
So yeah, I feel like if I, like, Kevin was great. Kevin was so nice. He was like, you should be in Waitress. I was like, you know what I listen to.
You should be in Waitress.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You'd have to start as Dawn. I feel like you're a little young for Jenna, but at the same time, do we know how old Jenna is? I don't know.
It's ambiguous.
A 22-year-old Jenna.
Right.
I do need to hear you sing every single Jenna song though, Annalise, because I'm obsessed with your voice. But wait, actually, before we dive into everything further, because we're going to talk more Doubtfire, we're going to talk Pathetic Little Dreamer, we're going to get into it, but I want to know, are you well?
Managing. You know the episode of Friends where Ross is like, I'm fine. That's me currently.
That literally, that's you.
There you go.
Same. That's such a that's relatable. And Doubtfire's famously paused right now to save the show.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are very, very lucky that we have a producer who will do everything in his power to save this show. And you know what? It goes to show the kind of person that he is, and it goes to show the kind of cast that we are and the show that we are. I mean, I've been in a lot of shows. I've been very lucky in my life to be in a lot of shows throughout all mediums, all kinds of mediums. And this show is very different, specifically because of the family that we've created. We have all of these people from different walks of life, and we just came together. And I always say Jerry Zaks knows how to cast a cast. Like, knows that man is a genius for so many reasons, but he knows how to cast a cast. And we are just a family from the very first day that we met. Truly. It's something like I've never experienced before. And I'm very grateful for every single person who walks in that theater every night.
Oh, and that goes back to, you all did the Seattle tryout.
We did.
At the Fifth Avenue Theater. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that experience? I mean, how old were you at that time?
I was 20. I had just turned 20. It was interesting. I mean, it was the first time that I had been far away from home. I go to college 30 minutes away from my house. So I've never been that far away alone. I mean, it was the other side of the country. And my parents were coming, like, you know, they would come, they came for Christmas, they came for Thanksgiving, and then they would come like random times of the year, of the time that we were there. But it was very difficult. I mean, it was hard at first because, you know, I was living alone for the very first time, like outside of college. But, you know, I could call my mom if I needed something and be like, hi, can you bring me something? I don't want to go to the supermarket right now. and like, obviously everything was always cheaper on Staten Island instead of the city. Yeah. So I'm like, can you bring me food to eat? Like, this was all me cooking for myself in a hotel kitchen, you know, trying to figure things out. But I do think that college prepared me for living on my own, even though I didn't have my own kitchen when I was in school. But it was really nice. And I live alone now. I love living alone. I'm an only child. So it's just very, I need my time. I need my space. I need my special moments to just sit and ponder my thoughts.
I totally get it. Yeah,
I liked it.
Was the show really different in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, not much different, but yes, there's a number that Charity Dawson sings, You've Been Playing With Fire. That's the new version. The old version is You've Created a Monster. And the lyrics, it's the same melody, but the lyrics are all different. The concept of the number is different. Before, it was like Daniel's nightmare, of which he was the social worker, Wanda Seldner, is yelling at Daniel about like, you've taken this too far. You've created a monster. Mm-hmm. And the writers were like, this is a little too harsh. And like, this is too, like, you know, I mean, the character Mrs. Doubtfire isn't a monster.
Right. She's amazing.
She's amazing. So therefore they took it into this new direction. It's like, you've been playing with fire. Like, what are you doing? You've created this person and now your kids are going to love Mrs. Doubtfire more than they love you. Because the scene that kind of triggers it is when Lydia talks to Daniel and says, you've got to let this go. You've got to tell mom the truth because we are seeing Mrs. Doubtfire more than we see you. I get that you want to see us, but we're not seeing you. We're seeing her. Uh-huh. And that triggers this whole number that he has this nightmare and everybody's dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire. Uh-huh. Which originally we were the kids, myself, Jake and Avery, and also Brad Oscar and Jay Harrison G were all dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire as well. But then there's a rule that when you're a principal, you can't be in an ensemble number, that you can't like fully like distinct. But because we were all dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire, it was hard to tell. The only person who you were really able to tell was Avery, because she's so small. And it was really funny. Like when we would come out, like everybody would laugh in Seattle. It was hilarious. And we had a great time. But, and I actually got a chance to dance with the adult ensemble and like be in that number, but Equity shut that down.
Ugh, darn.
Bummer. Oh my God.
I mean, I loved the show. It is so brilliant and funny. And
thank you.
You are a superstar. When you opened your mouth sing, Connor and I were like chills, and it is just like, you have such a cool modern voice. It's like, it's theater meets pop. You mentioned Sarah Bareilles earlier with Waitress. Like it gives me those kind of vibes.
Thank you. She's like my everything. She's all I listen to.
Oh my God. I know. Randomly this week, I was listening to Little Voice, that Apple TV Plus series that she did.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is so amazing. I wish it would have gotten another season, but.
Me too.
So it goes.
The main girl was so good on The White Lotus too.
You know what? I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's great.
Everyone tells me to watch that, but I'm like, I don't know. I need to finish a lot of things. I need to still finish This Is Us. I am like 2 years behind on that.
So are we.
Annalise, I need your help because I kind of freed myself from the emotional prison that is This Is Us right before the pandemic season. But now I'm seeing like headlines and it's ending. And I kind of love the idea that I would just like finish the whole story. I do want to know how it ends.
I want to know how it ends.
I know. But,
you know, I mean, my dad was watching it. We used to watch it together as a family. And then my dad stopped watching it because he was like, Kate is annoying me. I need to stop watching the show.
She's the worst.
She's the worst. But like, I didn't mind her. But She was fine. Like, it's like, okay, I won't stop watching the show because I don't love this character, but I just love Jack Pearson. Oh my God.
Talk about an aspirational dad, husband.
He's so fine.
He is just, I mean, I've had a crush on him forever because, you know, that's just Mariano. Like, oh my God.
I know.
Don't even get me started on him.
I know. And you know, he's going to be in Mrs. Maisel next season.
I heard. I'm unwell. I can't.
The answer to the question is, are you well? You said you're unwell. Got it. Very, very well.
I am well.
Mm-hmm. Wait, really quick, I have to say, back to Doubtfire.
Yeah.
You are so amazing. And that song, is it called What the Hell?
It is.
You slay the house down boots. Like, your voice is a fucking gag. And I seriously, like, the power that you have, it's seriously unbelievable. And I do want to hear all about, like, when you realize you could sing. But really quick about Doubtfire, which I also loved. Mr. Jolly, unsung hero.
My gosh. I know.
Like,
I know.
The work that he's putting in is, you're not seeing that anywhere else on Broadway. I'm saying.
No, but I mean, that's just Peter Bartlett. I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah.
I remember, so when I was a senior in high school, I did She Loves Me. So of course I just watched the revival.
Yes.
On Broadway HD all the time, just to like prep myself and be prepared. And I'll never forget when they announced the cast of Doubtfire and I saw that Peter Bartlett was going to be in the show. I was like, oh my God, that's the waiter.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. So just to learn from the comedic timing and to watch him work with Jerry Zaks, who is a comedic genius, is just unbelievable. But Peter Bartlett is also the nicest human in the world. And he'll just like come into my dressing room and he'll just come in and say the most random lines and then walk away.
I love it.
Like, Charity likes to do paint by numbers. And he came in and he was like, do they make one of those for me?
That was a good impression too.
Thank you. I've practiced.
Yeah, of course. You've had some time. I mean, it's so fun that you all seem to have a great offstage relationship as much as onstage.
Yeah.
And we got to talk with Jay Harrison G earlier in October. And they were just raved about the same experience and everything. And I am curious though, are all of the kids, like, so your siblings in the show?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they the same ones who had opened the show back in before the pandemic? So they stayed small enough to get to do it.
Yeah. The only, actually, what our producing team and our creative team was so great about was they called them in the middle of the pandemic and they were like, we don't care what you look like.
Oh, stop it. I'm going to cry.
That's amazing.
And as a former child actor, I mean, I know that in some of the shows that I was in, they would have been like, okay, bye.
Well, I've heard stories about them like measuring the kids on,
they do.
On tours for things, being like, okay, you're almost done with mm-hmm. young Cosette or no more Gavroche after this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we used to get weighed as well. I mean, in Matilda, we would get weighed because, like, you know, you'd have to stand on set pieces or who would have to be lifted. I mean, Amanda Thripp had to be thrown. So our weight was very important, but also like for costume purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this team was so great. All four of them, actually, we had one new, the Natalie understudy for this go around was new because our former Natalie understudy was in Annie Live.
Oh, there you go.
Speaking of queen.
Speaking of Annie.
There you go.
Speaking of Annie. Yeah, but she was in Annie Live and my girl Lily was killing it, kicking butt as usual. I love her. Shout out to Lily Tamburo. I love you so much.
Amazing.
But yeah, we had Addison join the cast. But yeah, the other three were still the same. The two girls are 12 and Sammy, Jake's understudy, is also 12 and Jake is 15.
Okay.
So, but Jake was 12 when we started. So I always say like to him, I was like, it's kind of more fun that you're 15 now because now like we can joke about things.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And we're so close. We're just very, very close.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I saw the video from y'all at Broadway Con. He was a little shorter back then.
A little. He's actually shorter than me. Uh-huh.
And now he's like taller.
And now he's like taller than everybody, which like, go Jake. I always tell him, I'm like, you know, it's a power move what you're doing. No teenager. I mean, when was the last time a 15-year-old was on Broadway? Like with a changed voice. I mean, it's a power move. I tell them all the time, like, you're making history.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because I know that there are lots of other 15-year-old boys who are like, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, I get to actually see myself on stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last time that there were teenagers with changing voices was 13. And that was like a 2-minute run.
Yeah. Cause Graham Phillips's voice was truly going through it throughout that process. Yeah. And
mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, that was the last time that there was a teenager on Broadway with a change, with someone who's going through this, the life process of changes.
Wow.
That's drama. That,
How old were you when 13 came out?
Eight.
Okay.
God, you'd be so good singing the, what is her name, Dylan? Like Patrice. Character.
Yeah.
I have never been in that show. Nobody ever did it. It was like not like now it's much more popular than it was. But when I was young, it was just this show that flopped.
Yeah.
So and then it was kind of like, you know, then they got the rights. And then by the time they were able to like get the rights and it became popular, I was too old to be in it.
Sure.
And then I was also doing like the other shows.
Right.
So I never got to be in that show, but I used to sing Brand New You. Is that the song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the time at cabarets. And I sang it at someone's bar mitzvah.
Yeah. She did the circuit.
I actually sang at someone's bar mitzvah. I sang Brand New You in front of Bryn Williams.
Oh, no.
No way. Which, she did our podcast last summer.
Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, in front of Bryn Williams. And I was like so anxious. I was like, but you said, I was like, this is your song and I'm singing it in front of you. And she was like, no, like you're killing it.
She's so sweet.
I love her. It was the first time we met and now we're friends.
Well, okay. So you, and she obviously was a child actor too. She did a lot of different shows on Broadway, but so did you. But before you got into Broadway or like on Broadway, I should say, we like to go back to the beginning.
Let's do that.
We do. We like to ask about the Ring of Keys moment, that moment when a switch was flipped and you were like, oh, I love the arts in whatever way it means to me. Do you feel like you had that moment of recognition?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was actually, I tell the story all the time, but I was a dancer first. My parents introduced me to movie musicals. I was obsessed with Grease. Grease was like my thing. Grease, Bye Bye Birdie, obviously Annie. But like I was always into musicals and Shirley Temple. Shirley Temple was my gal. And I knew every single one of her movies and the songs and the lyrics by the time I was like 2. But I always wanted to be a dancer. I was in ballet class from 2 years old. And then when I was 5, I started taking acting classes and did musicals. But I was never like, I liked musicals, but I didn't want to do that full time.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to dance. And then Billy Elliot ruined everything.
Oh.
I saw Billy Elliot on Broadway, the original cast. And that was my Ring of Keys moment. And I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I turned to my mom and my dad. We were at intermission. And I was like, I want to be in that. I want to do that. And they were like, okay. And I looked in the playbill and I found a manager in the playbill. And I sent my little headshot and resume in snail mail. And to my surprise, she called me and asked for a meeting. And she signed me. And the next day I auditioned for Billy Elliot.
Oh my God.
What? This is an insane story. I'm obsessed that you like, I mean, you literally had your Ring of Keys moment and you were like, no, this is happening now. You're in the playbill.
I was like that.
Obsessed. What's your sign? Just curious.
I'm a Scorpio.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Scorpios are so passionate. I see that. Wow. Okay. So you auditioned for Billy Elliot and had you ever done a theatrical audition before that moment?
I mean, not at that level. No.
Yeah.
I also was just a ballet dancer. I had no idea what tap was.
Yeah.
So I actually had an anxiety attack in the room in front of the entire creative team when they started teaching the tap dance at like a mile a minute. And I was like, what are these steps? And I was only 10 and I was freaking out and I left the room crying.
Oh.
And the casting director came out and was like, we know you want to be here. Like we heard about you from your manager, like we know, like, and I was like, how do you know? I signed with them yesterday. And I was like just a wreck. But it turns out that like that whole time I was experiencing like preliminary symptoms to Crohn's disease, and that was the attack.
Wow.
No way.
Wow.
But I always say, like, even though I never booked Billy Elliot, I did audition for it a couple of more times after, and I got a call back, but I never went because I was on vacation and I couldn't get back. Even though I had never booked Billy Elliot itself, I feel like my my moment that I booked Billy Elliot was when I booked Matilda, because it was the same team.
Yeah.
And it's funny because our dance captain from Matilda was in the room teaching the combo the day that I had the attack.
Do they remember it? Do they remember that moment?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so full circle. Who wouldn't? Yeah, well.
This is honestly a great, I feel like this is a good lesson for our listeners to even hear, young people who want to get in the arts, like there's always another chance for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's never over.
No, I mean, it was the first time I had ever, and I was good. I was great during the whole, I mean, it was a big show and it was scary to go in there for the first time. And I'm not one who deals well with change.
Oh, same.
Yeah. It just really hit me hard. And I left.
Do you remember which Billy you saw? Was it Trent or Kirill?
I saw Trent.
Those boys, first of all, history, but like they're still out there.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my God.
David. Unreal.
Sobbing. So I was sobbing during the movie because I used to just watch, like I was that person, just telling my friend yesterday, I was the person who knew who every single Billy was. Like, forget Holland from Spider-Man. I said, that's Billy Elliot. That's not Spider-Man. That's Billy. Mm-hmm.
He was amazing in West Side Story. He should be getting more awards nominated. Not that everything's about awards, but with the way that everyone else is getting nominated, it's like he was pivotal in that movie as Bernardo.
Amazing.
I hope you get nominated for a Tony.
Oh gosh.
Is that random to say? That's so random.
But thank you. I appreciate that.
I wonder if they'll put you in lead or featured.
Interesting. Because you are kind of the main female role.
But so is Jen Gambetes.
True. I wonder if, do you guys have equal stage time? Do you like how we're trying to like do awards?
Yeah, we're like in real time, like parsing this out.
I wonder.
Connor and I are awards queens, so.
I love that. I mean, I would assume featured because I am supporting.
Okay.
But yeah, I think so. Mm,
we'll see.
But I'm going to give that to Patti LuPone this year.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Wouldn't it be cool if you guys were both nominated and featured and you get to go to like round tables with her?
I would pass out. I wouldn't be in attendance. I'd be on the floor somewhere.
I remember when Carrie Butler was nominated for Xanadu. It was the same year that Patti LuPone was nominated for Gypsy.
Yep.
And she said that she just had the best time going to all of the events because she knew she wasn't going to win. She was just enjoying the moment. She wore the fancy dresses and she got to just take all the pressure off because it was Patti's year.
Right. It was Patti's year. Like I just love that woman. Don't even get me started on her.
Oh my God.
Do you have Patti issues? Are you obsessed with Patti?
Yes, I do. Actually, I was watching before I came on here. I was watching a video of Patti with, who was it? Andy Cohen or something?
I watched What Happens Live. Watched it yet.
And she's just so iconic. She's just so, what I love about her is she's just so unapologetically herself and she doesn't give a crap. And I hope I, you know, get to that point where I am unapologetically myself. I mean, I actually, if you haven't seen, I did a video, my final for my acting class in my junior year of college was to lip sync to an iconic moment in a performance of any medium. You could be a pop singer, you could be anyone. And I decided to dress up as Patti LuPone and do Rose's Turn, but the moment where she yelled at the photographer.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I did that. And I started from the beginning and I went through and I did the yelling monologue. And then I went back to the beginning and then I did the entire song from start to finish, just as she had, had done in the original moment that it occurred. And I learned so much more about that woman just by watching her, just trying to like, you know, because we had to like adapt her mannerisms and learn everything that she does.
What a cool assignment.
What's incredible is like in her infamous autobiography, that moment isn't in it because the book is the frame story from like Gypsy starting on Broadway, you know, and then everything that happened leading up to it. So when we get her next book, I hope that that's included.
I really hope so. I really hope so. I mean, we need that moment.
What a cool and inspired idea. Okay, so you're talking about you hope that one day you get to this point and everything. I certainly feel like you're on the way. Pathetic Little Dreamer. It's an unreal EP.
Thank you.
I love every single song. I cried during Charlie for some reason. It is just so, so good. And you wrote all the songs yourself.
I did. Music and lyrics.
Come on, Taylor.
Literally. Sarah Bareilles.
But you're more of a Sarah girl. Who are your like your inspirations?
Sarah is like my number one. Also Taylor Swift.
We love. Connor and I are huge Swifties.
I love her. She's just, I had that moment where I was like during the Reputation era that I was like, why?
We all did.
Literally same.
But I questioned just a tad. I still enjoyed it, but I was like.
I know.
Yeah. But I still was with her. I still stuck with her. But honestly, the Taylor's versions are just hitting it out of the park.
I know.
I mean, when Speak Now comes out, no one talked to me because I will be in my room sobbing at Long Live and Dear John. I mean, Dear John is my favorite song that she's ever written. Dear John and All Too Well. And I'm fully prepared to do the Dear John music video with Milo Ventimiglia. Like, I'm ready.
Yes.
You're ready.
Wait, okay. I need you when like we do like Broadway Sings Taylor Swift at like Green Room or 54 Below or something.
No one's ever done it.
No one really? I could fix that. I can fix this.
I need you singing Dear John.
I love it. You know, I'm doing a 54 Sings Olivia Rodrigo on Monday. I'm singing the Rose song, which is one of my favorite songs she's ever written.
Yes.
But there's a mashup of Dear John and Traitor.
Girl, it's like we're friends.
Have you heard it?
My best friend and I watched that all summer long.
It's so good. It is I so mean, good. I want to put so that good. In my book and like, I want to sing that and do my own version of it. I mean, yeah.
It just works.
It works. It works. I mean, but you totally knew that Olivia had Taylor in mind because she's, you know, Taylor's like her person, yes. Like Sarah's mine. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So.
Now you need to forgive me. I am wearing my Joshua Bassett t-shirt today.
Okay. No. That's totally fine because I also, I'm embarrassing myself on the internet once again. I also have a Joshua Bassett t-shirt. Yes.
Well, he's.
And it says, my bitch ex Gina is Joshua Bassett.
you were on the ground floor with some of his original merch there.
Yes. You know, let me just tell you, I got to meet them. I didn't meet Joshua. I met Olivia. I got to meet Olivia before she was like super duper big. It was like pre-Sour, prime HSM.
Pre-driver's license?
Pre-driver's license. It was January of 2020. And we were doing an event. We were both performing at this event in Atlanta, Junior Theater Festival, which is so much fun. And, you know, my friend was there because she was with her community theater. And I heard like these people outside of my hotel room just like talking. And I'm like, who are these people talking? But my friend Grace couldn't get up to my room. And she was like, you're on a high security floor. It's like, why? I open the door. Who's at my feet? Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, just chilling like, on the floor of the hotel?
Just chilling on the floor with like her friend. I was like, hello. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, you're good. You're fine. And it was like one of those hotels where like you could see the rest of the floor. So I was like waving to my friend Grace and I hung up the phone and I turned around and was like, and we have a mutual friend. So I was like, this is very strange, but I'm friends with Maya. And she was like, Annalise. I was like, you know who I am.
That is crazy.
That's amazing.
But yeah, we talked for a few minutes. She's very sweet. She's very tall.
Oh.
I'm very short.
I did not expect her to be tall.
Yeah, she's tall.
Guys, she's amazing. She is like just.
We're going to her concert.
Yeah, Connor is.
Well,
Connor
is. I am. Dylan's like might not be, but it's drama. We'll talk about it later. But I'm coming to the Olivia Rodrigo show on Monday.
You are?
I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'm going to come.
Yes.
You should come to the Jonas Brothers one too.
Oh, okay.
That's on Wednesday at 9:45.
Oh, she's busy.
I'm seeing Dear Evan Hansen.
You know, I won the lottery yesterday and I didn't check my email.
No. Oh, man.
That's drama.
That is drama.
That is drama. Oh, my gosh.
You get to see Jordan Fisher.
I know. That's another one.
Okay, wait. So going back to your EP.
Yes.
Was this born during the pandemic? Like, what's the storyline?
Well, the pandemic was the very first time that I realized I had nothing to do. I was like, not in school. There was no auditions because we were in a pandemic and nobody could work. And I didn't have the show. And I had taken a year off from school to do the show. So I had nothing. And I turned to my guitar and I was like, okay. And I started picking it up and I was like, maybe I'll learn how to play more. Strumming the guitar, strumming along. And then out came End of the Day, which is the final track on the EP.
And Connor's favorite track.
Really?
It feels like a waltz.
I've never heard anyone say that, and it makes me so happy. Thank really? You.
Oh my God, it's yes, so good.
Because that was the one that was like, I mean, obviously it's about a real situation, and it was about something that really hurt me. And everybody's like, you know, it's so sad. And I'm like, yeah, because it was.
Right. I love sad songs.
It's so sad. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what happened. I was just retelling the way that it was, that it occurred. I don't know what else to tell you, but thank you for saying that, because I've never heard anyone say that before, because it's my favorite.
It is.
It was the first. Yeah. It's my favorite because it was the first. And I wrote that in March of 2020. And I hate to say that I wrote it for someone, but I did, because, you know, when a cute guy plays a guitar, you're like, let me write a song, but it's not about you.
Mm-hmm. Been there. I'm just kidding. But no, I've been there.
Let me write you a song. Oh my God. Let me, I can play guitar and I write songs too. No. Ugh. But yeah. So then they kind of just 35 songs later, and I chose 7 of them.
Oh my God. That reminds me, like, when Dolly Parton wrote 9 to 5, the musical, she allegedly wrote like almost 100 songs, and they had to whittle it down to like less than 20. It's like crazy. How did you even choose?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of them were kind of like the same concept, okay, but different songs.
Yeah.
A lot of them were like very slow, kind of similar to Charlie. Charlie was actually the last one. It almost didn't even make the EP because we had picked songs. Mm-hmm. They were done. And then I wrote Charlie and I was like, no, this one needs to be on there.
I love that one.
I love the guitar pattern on that mm-hmm. one.
So you're with Broadway Records, and it's available wherever fine music is streamed.
Yes.
I certainly have it on my Spotify. What was the reaction to the EP?
I mean, everyone who listens to it seems to really love it. I mean, yeah. I was petrified. It was the first, I mean, I've never released my own stuff before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've written songs and performed original songs before when I was in high school, but those were like really bad.
Yeah.
So I, you know, everybody was like, oh, they're so good. And I'm like, thank you. But no, but yeah, those were like campy, silly songs, but they were good first songs.
Mm-hmm.
But these songs, I was like, these are really personal. And I was also, I had a little bit of a moment where I was like, what if the people who these songs are about listen to these songs and I get a phone call? Like, how do I handle that situation?
Yeah.
But I know that I've done my job when I get a message from someone I don't know. And they were like, this song meant something to me. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Wow.
And I know that that's why I listen to music. So I feel like I've done my job. I don't care who listens to it anymore. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to get a million streams. It doesn't have a million streams. I'd like it to get a million streams.
It will.
If you'd like
it
to
will.
Listen. but yeah, as long as I know that it's touched one person's life, that's all I care about.
Oh, and you're going to keep writing? God.
Yeah, 100%. There are more. I mean, I have my book literally right next to me. It's always open.
Well, if you ever need anyone to listen to a demo or give you some notes,
thank you.
Robbie Roselle will have to send us the exclusive.
Yes.
He's a dear friend.
Oh my God. Wait, Annalise, what's your dream?
I have always admired what Sarah Bareilles has done with her career. I mean, she was a singer-songwriter she's also written a book. I would love to write a book one day.
Yeah.
I'd love to write a musical one day. I'd love to be in a television show, pretty much create art in any medium I possibly can. I don't really have one specific dream other than to make people smile. That's really it.
You're going to do it.
Thank you.
Well, you certainly made us smile in Doubtfire. I had the best time. And then like the drama and shock on our faces when we're literally walking out of the theater and New York Times is like, they're going to pause. And we were like,
oh, you went
yeah,
that day.
It was that day that we saw it.
Oh, God bless. Mm-hmm. There were so many tears shed.
Really?
I think it was Rob's last show for a while. Cause I know that he didn't go on.
We both got so sick. Oh my gosh. We both were sick, but he ended up calling out and I stuck it out for the week.
Oh my God, you slayed.
We had like these bad sinus infections.
I get those. Like I get like 3 a year.
So
wait,
bad.
Did you guys know before the show or after? After. Okay.
After. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. That's so
spooky. We did have a company meeting and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. We knew it was something. Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to see you guys when you come back. It's already like creeping up on us too, I guess. Right. Like it's.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I know. It's weird because it's like the nine weeks. I mean, I dealt with 18 months. So I feel like 9 weeks is like a millisecond compared to 18 months. It is still hard, you know, I mean, to think of regaining the stamina again.
Yeah.
To sing every night. Like I always have to keep, like, I warm up every day and I'm like, you know, I haven't sung one in a very long time. So I hope it's, I do know that, like, I don't have to look at any of my lines because I know that they're still in there and I don't want to, because I do want it to be fresh when I go back. But yeah, I mean, a couple days before I'll look at it and see what happens.
Oh, hopefully I'll be okay. I just got like butterflies thinking about how exciting it's going to be to reopen. And you're right. Kevin McCullum made the smart decision. He is a prolific Broadway producer. I mean, he did Rent and In the Heights. Like, he's even Something Rotten too, right?
Yeah, he did.
So like all my favorite shows, basically.
And Avenue Q and Drowsy Chaperone. Like,
he knows a thing or two about musical comedy. So
he knows a thing or two.
Oh my gosh, Annalise, I feel like I could talk to you forever, but we're sadly coming at the end of our chat here. And before we say goodbye, we like to leave our listeners with a dose of drama, something to recommend, rant about, rave about, something to send them out into the world and consume. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama today?
I do. It's been on my mind because I wanna recap what I said about Joshua Bassett. I just want the people to know that you don't have to be Team Olivia or Team Joshua. They're two separate people. Everything that's out there, a lot of it is just conjecture. And, you know, they're both growing up. They're both doing their own thing. And we can love them both as artists. I do think that her music obviously is bigger and more popular. And that's why I think a lot of people are on her side versus his. But he's going through his identity. She is, you know what I mean? We can love them both. We don't need to be one or the other.
He said, though, that she hasn't spoken to him since Driver's License came out.
Yeah, and that's tough. That's tough. I don't know about her future on the show.
I don't think she's in season three. I don't think she's in it. Okay, here's what I think, because they're filming it now. Her tour starts next month. And I think it takes way longer to film a TV show than, like, a 10-episode TV show than, like, 2 months. So we'll see what happens. Annalise, what are you going to say?
I think she's in it. I think she's too. Because it says that they would have announced if she was. Okay. That would have been announced. And when they released that there were new cast members on Deadline, she was still listed as the cast.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that too.
So I do think she's in it. Do I think she's in every episode? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think that maybe, like, I think there's going to be something that happens with Jordan Fisher's character.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, you're right. Because he came in. He was like the older brother.
He was cousin? Sophia Wiley's brother. Okay. Yes. The record producer, yep. Or whatever. Yeah. So I think that's what's going
to
happen.
That's how they're going to keep her on.
They smartly brought that in as a way to be like, okay, she's a pop. She's a huge sensation now. Like, we have an out if we need it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and then the rest of the kids are going to be, it's like a summer camp storyline, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's Corbin Blue's doing it. So it's going to be great.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And Jason Earls.
Jason Earls.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't wait. I hope they do some High School Musical 2 songs. They have to.
They are.
They are. And they're also doing Camp Rock songs. And I'm just waiting. I am waiting for Wouldn't Change a Thing, sung by Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett.
Oh my God. We're like fire and rain, baby.
That is one of the best songs ever to come out of Disney Channel. I mean. Mm-hmm.
But do you think, like, who's going to sing Introducing Me?
Matt Cornett.
Who are you going
to
say?
They'll probably give it to Joshua because, like, he's like the guitar guy.
Yeah.
And
they
also want, like, the little kids to be like, oh, it's Joshua Bassett. Uh-huh.
He'll be adorable.
He'll
when
be
he does
adorable
it,
when he does it. But I mean, I think Matt Cornett should sing it. I'm an EJ person. Like, I love EJ.
I love He's EJ. Great. I wish that they had leaned into the Sharpay of it all a little bit more.
But they were
general.
Giving that more to Gina.
Yeah.
True, true. You're right. You're right. You know, you're a real
She's
one.
On it. She's
you're,
on
listen,
it.
Listen, children's television, I know.
Oh my God. We had Larry Saperstein on the show, like, right when season 2 came out.
God.
And Dylan and I were just like, I don't know if it came across in the episode, but we're obsessed with HSM TNMTS. And I think he was so scared. I really
No,
didn't.
He was lovely. He was he understood. He understood.
He understood. I know.
Okay, Connor, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. Okay, I was bored for once in my life last night, and I rewatched Black Swan, the film that, I mean, you're a dancer, Annalise, so maybe you loved this movie, but Natalie Portman did what needed to be done in that movie.
Even though it's kind of grotesque at times.
Oh, it's fully a horror film. I mean, also Barbara Hershey and Mila Kunis should have gotten awards for their supporting roles, because I don't know if Nina, aka Natalie Portman, her story wouldn't work as well if those performances weren't as terrifying and mysterious as they are. But it's such a good movie, and Natalie Portman's got it. She's got it. Love.
Annalise, you hate that movie, don't
I've
you?
Never seen it. I refuse to see it. I will never see it. Oh. Coming from the ballet world, I can't do that to myself. Like, it'll just bring back, if you want to know more about the ballet world, listen to my song, Seventh Stage of Grief.
I was wondering where that all was rooted.
Yeah, it's about a former teacher of mine.
Okay.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Children will listen.
Children will listen. Anyways, okay.
Annalise, before we go, do you have a dose of drama?
I do.
You've given us so much today. Oh my God. You really have. It's been amazing.
Nick Jonas is a father.
Yes.
And I feel old.
I can't believe it.
As a Jonas Brothers fan, all three of them are now fathers. And that scares me because, you know, it's like all three of them are fathers. All my cousins are getting married. And I'm 22. I feel like yesterday I was 6 years old hanging up posters of them, like Tiger Beat posters. Bop and Tiger Beat and like listening to quizzes. Like, we were planning our marriages, like, to Nick Jonas, because I used to get hundreds on all the quiz.
Well, of course.
You know.
Yeah, you know, it's life comes at you fast. Were we ever so young, Annalise? Were we ever so young?
I know.
Yeah.
You know, that was for me when all the members of 1D started having kids. Well, three of them
have
kids.
Three of them have kids.
And I was like, I'm nowhere near fatherhood, so what's going on here?
I was the same way with One Direction.
Yeah. Wait, you're from Staten Island?
Yes.
Have you ever encountered Pete Davidson?
Is he the king of Staten Island?
No. If anything, Colin Jost is the king of Staten Island. Let me tell you. Okay, so I love Colin Jost. I read his book over the summer. First of all, just a smart human.
Oh yeah.
Totally, like, it was nice to read a book about Staten Island that didn't trash it. And listen, we all get it. We all trash where we come from. You know, like, we all have our, like, I don't like being home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But let me be honest. I wouldn't give up my childhood for anything. I had a beautiful childhood. I went to school. I had my issues. I went to an all-girls Catholic school from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade.
Wow.
And I wouldn't change that for the world. Girls are mean. We get it. We know. But, you know, I loved school and I loved going to school and I loved my childhood. And I love that my family is all there. Would I live in Staten Island currently? No, I love living in the city. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just don't love what Pete Davidson has to say about it, because he makes the world think that Staten Island is like the worst place in the world. And I feel like, for me, it's really not. Like, we have some great food.
Oh, yeah.
We have some good people. I mean, and it's not, I mean, you know, they did that skit Walkin' in Staten.
Uh-huh. I saw that.
SNL. And I was like, you know, everything's about the beach. And I'm like, yes, the beach is disgusting, but like, you don't have to go to the beach when you go to Staten Island.
Right.
But also, he's from a different neighborhood than I was from, you know, like, I was Northwest.
Okay.
So, and I was more inland, so I didn't get to see that side. So maybe on his side, I don't know.
Wow, that's fascinating perspective. See, we need more Staten Island.
Yeah.
More Staten Island representation in the media.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like Tommy Bracco, I don't know if you know who that is.
Oh yeah.
But so Tommy is also from Staten Island. Brittany Conigatti, who is in A Bronx Tale, and she's on the Mean Girls tour right now. She's also from Staten Island. And Phil Colgan, who is the Universal Swing for Hamilton, is also from Staten Island. Phil and I did theater together when he was in high school. I was a Munchkin. The Wiz, but we won't say that.
Right.
But yeah. I've known them forever. And, you know, like, there are some great people that come out of Staten Island. And, you know, there's a very big theater community out there. And, you know, I think it deserves more credit than it's given.
Yeah.
That's drama too. That's two doses of drama.
That's two doses of drama.
You have given us so much, Annalise. You are a doll. It is.
Thank you.
It has been such a treat to chat with you today. And I just feel like we'll have to chat again at some point down the line.
We definitely do.
Maybe this summer. And we'll see you around the city, of course, because now
that I see you at Olivia.
I'm so excited.
I cannot wait.
And of course, everyone should follow you at annalise.scarpacci on Instagram. And then do you use your Twitter?
Not often, but I have one. So you could follow me there. And then I also am on the Facebook and the TikTok. Yeah, the TikTok's new. The TikTok is new.
We got to build up that following then.
We're trying to build her up. The Patty video went viral. I will say that.
Oh, I need to look for that then. And then you're, of course, on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streamers with Pathetic Little Dreamer.
Yes.
And it is amazing. Right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We can't wait to see all that you have to give this spring and beyond. And of course, if anyone's not following us, they better at The Drama Podcast, at Connor McDowell, at Dylan McDowell. And Connor, I'll see you next time.
Drama.